Welcome to the Shepherd's Voice with Pastor Johnny Awanyo. This simple, scripturally sound preaching and teaching of the Word of God will direct you to Jesus, the Good Shepherd. Follow the Shepherd's Voice into the green pastures that God has purposed for you. There, you'll find rest for your soul and the fulfilled Christian experience you crave. God bless you as you listen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Amen and amen. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we thank you this morning. We are grateful to you for all that you are to us, for everything that you do in our lives, for your presence, for your power, for your protection, and for your provisions in our lives. This morning, we commit ourselves to you. We ask that you will do as good as you always do. And let our time in your presence today be a blessed time. We give you thanks, we give you glory, we give you honor. In Jesus' mighty name, and let everybody say amen.
Amen.
Please put your hands together for Jesus. And you may be seated. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen and amen. Just bow down your heads and pray in the spirit for a minute or two.
Thank
you, Jesus. We give you thanks,
Jesus.
Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me, bless His name.
Sing with me, I will bless the Lord. Stay in His presence. Sing, He has done great things.
He has done great things.
The Lord has done.
He has done great things.
Say that the Lord.
In front of my melody, you are all. This morning we bless you with all our souls and with everything that is within us. We sing to your glory and to your honor. We give you highest place in our lives. We are grateful to you, Jesus, for making it possible for us to know you, to relate with you, to have a relationship with the Father. All through that amazing work that you did, which we commemorated last week during Easter. And this morning, we know, Father, that there are many more things that you would have us know through the preaching of your word. Speak to us and may we be blessed in Jesus' mighty name. And let everybody say, amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Put your hands together for Jesus, if you don't mind. This morning, I want to share a sermon with you, which is actually part of Becoming More Like Jesus series. How many know that our theme for this year is Becoming More Like Jesus? It must be our life quest and goal to become more like Jesus. And to achieve this, there are different things that we must know and different things we must do. So this morning, the title of my message is Becoming More Like Jesus, Stepping into Divine Elevation. And stepping into divine elevation. Becoming more like Jesus, stepping into divine elevation. Hallelujah.
Amen.
What does it mean to be elevated? To be elevated means to be moved or raised to a higher place or position. To be moved or raised to a higher place or position. May this be your experience.
Amen.
In life. May you be moved or raised to a higher place or position.
Amen.
If your amen is convincing, then this will practically happen.
Amen.
To you.
Amen. I receive it.
To be elevated means to be lifted up. In this life, you will be lifted up.
Amen.
Get ready for a lifting up.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Number three, to be elevated means to be exalted or promoted to a higher state, rank, or office. To be exalted or promoted to a higher state, rank, or office. That is what it means to be elevated. So when we talk about divine elevation, we are talking about where God himself is the one elevating you. Now, this is the best kind of elevation. Because it is God himself who is elevating you. And when God is the one lifting you up, Nobody can bring you down. That's why we sing this song. Nia Yehowa Shirano, Shirano. Nia Yehowa Shirano, Shirano. Only pen to me say, Nia Yehowa Shirano. Na penina, Eye Shira. Oh, only pen to me say, Nia Yehowa Shirano. Na penina, Eye Shira. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So when God Himself is lifting you up, nobody can bring you down. There are some people in life who think that they can bring you down. The next time you meet people like that, ask them, are you God? Because when God stretches forth His hand to lift you up, nobody can put you down. And if He's the one who is setting you on high, promoting you in this life, there is nothing that any group of people can do to bring you down. The Bible says promotion does not come from the east, nor from the west, nor from the south. But God is the judge. He puts down one and exalts another. This morning, may a divine decision be taken concerning you. And as a result of this decision, may you enter into a season of divine elevation.
Amen.
And a season where God will set you on high.
Amen.
And nobody will be able to bring you down.
Amen.
Can I hear your loudest amen?
Amen.
May your name be mentioned in the courts of heaven.
Amen.
And may an instruction be given for your lifting up.
Amen.
For your exaltation.
Amen.
For your promotion.
Amen.
In Jesus' mighty amen. Name. Can I hear you shout aloud? Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now, there is a path that must be followed if we are going to experience divine elevation in this life. And Jesus, who is our perfect example, He walked on this path, showing us how we can experience the promotion that comes from above. And in becoming more like Jesus, there is a need for us to follow His steps. The steps He followed that led to the great glory that He experienced. So that we can share in this glory. So that is why I'm sharing with you stepping into divine elevation. And now I'll be happy if you could turn with me to Philippians chapter 2. Reading from verse number 5. We're going to read Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 to 11. And this is what the word of God says. It is very warm in here, isn't it? May the Holy Spirit cool you down.
Amen.
May you have a private and a personal air conditioning around you.
Amen.
All things are possible to the one who believeth. Yeah. And believing God is not just for spiritual things alone. If you believe what I'm saying, you will survive this heat by the grace of God. Hallelujah. Philippians 2, verse 5 to 11. You must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. Though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. When he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on a cross. Therefore, everybody say, therefore. It says, therefore, God elevated him to the place of highest honor and gave him the name above all other names, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue declare that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Take note of verse 9 again. Therefore, God elevated him to the place of highest honor. Therefore, God elevated him to the place of highest honor. And just last week, we were celebrating Easter, remembering the victory that Jesus won for us. And through that great victory, Christ has been elevated to the place of greatest honor. Now, who elevated him to this place of greatest honor? The answer is God. It is clear in there, is that not so? That God elevated him to the place of highest honor. May we always look out for God himself to elevate us.
Amen.
Because I've come to see that when human beings elevate you, when they are bored with you, they will bring you down. Have you realized that?
Sir?
If you haven't yet realized it, you will realize it along the line. That when human beings are the one who are lifting you up, when they get tired of you, or when they are angry with you, or when they are bored with you, that platform that they created for you, they will break it down or shift it away, and you will come tumbling down like Humpty Dumpty. Ask the person sitting by you, do you know Humpty Dumpty? The only person you know is Kwaku Anansi. There's another guy called Humpty Dumpty who had a great fall. And all the king's men and all the king's horses could not put him together again. That is why I am recommending to you that wait for God himself to elevate you. And when he does so, nobody can break you down. And by the way, God does not need permission from anybody to elevate you. He doesn't need permission. He decides based on his own sovereignty. based on his own judgment of things. And the judgments of God are sure.
They
are fair. And when he sets out to elevate you, he doesn't need to ask for permission from anybody. Hallelujah.
Amen.
One day somebody was telling me that somebody said to him that don't lift up your hands to worship God because he will not hear your prayers. You know, it's as if you are the personal assistant of God and has given you a message to give to somebody. Don't lift up your hands to worship God because God will never answer your prayer. It's very fantastic. So allow God to elevate you. I said, allow God to elevate you. And here the Bible says that therefore God elevated him, Jesus Christ, to the place of highest honor. Now take note of this. The first word there is the word therefore. Do you see that word there? Therefore. Now that word therefore is an adverb. And it means as a result of. Or in consequence of. So you can say here that as a result of something, God elevated Jesus to the place of highest honor. Now the question we want to ask ourselves is this. As a result of what? In consequence of what? That God elevated Jesus. And the answer lies in the earlier verses from verse 5. From verse 5 to verse 8, the Bible reveals to us what it was that Jesus did, what path it was he followed, what steps he pursued, which is why God highly elevated him. So to understand this, we need to look at the earlier verses. So if you look at verse 5, it says you must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. That's the first thing we see there. One of the steps that he followed for God to highly elevate him. He had a certain attitude. He had a certain attitude. And I dare say that he had a good attitude. And because of this good attitude that he had, God highly elevated him. So if we want to experience divine elevation in our lives, where God himself is promoting us and setting us on high, then you and I must have a good attitude. And if you check my podcast, which has messages I've preached before, there's a particular message I will recommend to you titled Developing Good Attitudes. I preached this message for about 4 weeks where I shared with us 15 good attitudes that we must develop. But we can see here that Jesus Christ had a certain attitude which contributed to God divinely lifting him up. Now, what does attitude mean? Attitude means an orientation or disposition especially of the mind. It's an orientation or a disposition, especially of the mind. And this reflects in your manner, your behavior, your posture, your character, your reactions, etc. So our behavior, our manner, our posture, our reactions are very much related to certain attitudes that we have, certain orientations that we've developed, a certain mindset that we have. So we are explaining that Jesus Christ was divinely elevated because he had a certain attitude which must have been a good attitude, because good attitudes lead to promotion. Bad attitudes lead to demotion. So we can see with Jesus, for example, that he was focused. It's a good attitude. He was determined. It was a good attitude. He was committed. It was a good attitude. So these are examples of certain attitudes that Christ had, which helped in his elevation. We can talk about attitudes of positivity. To have a positive mindset. To think positively. To have an attitude of it can be done. It can be done. You can have an attitude of hope. An attitude of faith. An attitude of confidence. An attitude of ready to drop issues. And all of these are good attitudes. May I submit to you this morning,
Jesus,
that in this life, to experience the elevation that comes from God, a lot depends on the attitude that you have. Attitudes of positivity. To think positive, to be focused in life. Whatever you're trying to pursue or achieve in this life, be it spiritual or secular, you need to be focused. You need to be determined. You need to be committed. You need to think positive. That business that you are working on, you need to have a good attitude about it. That desire that you have to be more like Jesus, you need to have a can-do attitude. And in this life, for God to lift you up, you must have a lot of hope, a lot of faith, a lot of confidence. These are examples of good attitudes. And the bad attitudes you must avoid. Attitudes of negativity. Pessimism. Same thing. Depressed. Sad. Always looking at the dark side of things. Always gloomy. Always distrusting. Hopelessness. Always dragging issues. Quarrelsome. And the like. These are negative attitudes that we must avoid. Because such attitudes will always bring you down. But if you want God to lift you up, you must avoid such bad attitudes. And you must put such things away. Can I have an amen from somebody?
Amen.
Can I have a louder amen from somebody?
Amen.
Yeah. You know, last night I was speaking to an economist. He called me to wish me a happy birthday. And thank you for all your wonderful birthday prayers and wishes. I am so grateful from the bottom of my heart. Thank you very much. And for your gifts, God bless you. Now, he doesn't live here. This gentleman works with an international organization. By the grace of God, one day you will work for an international organization.
Amen. Amen.
I didn't feel your amen.
Amen.
You see this attitude thing that I was talking amen. About. As I said that, somebody in your mind, you are saying that, why, Miana, nothing like that can ever happen. You will be surprised at what
amen.
God will do in your life. The Bible says about God that he lifts up people from the dunghill and he sets them on high to walk with kings.
Amen.
May God do that in your life.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
May God lift you up to a place that you never imagined for yourself. May you look at yourself one day and say that no, it cannot
amen.
Be me.
Amen. I receive
but
it.
The answer is yes, it
amen.
Is you.
I
can I hear somebody's loud amen in agreement?
Amen.
I was asking him about the countries that he operates in. Because by virtue of his work, he works in different countries. Senegal.
Yes, Senegal.
Niger.
Niger.
Mali.
Mali.
Burkina Faso.
Burkina Faso.
And all of these countries. Chad. So he travels to all these places. So I was asking him, how are things in these countries? I was particularly interested in Niger. Because I've heard of some interesting stories about Niger. How that they are one of the fastest growing economies today. They had a coup d'etat about a year ago. So there's a military government ruling that country. And together with Burkina Faso and Mali, they decided that they will no longer be part of ECOWAS. And they used to be governed by the French. They've sacked the French from their country. And they've decided to manage their own affairs. And I read somewhere that their economies are doing well. So I was asking him. And he said to me, that don't be deceived by some of these things that you read on the internet. Because a lot of things are not the way they appear to be. And he was explaining to me that it's not easy in these countries. And he said to me, that Ghanaians are always complaining and always lamenting, always moaning about the state of our country. He said to me, take it from me, I work with these other countries, and Ghana, the economy of Ghana, with all the challenges that it has, is one of the best places. Do you see your response? Do you see your response? Yeah. And it just brings me back to what I was saying before. Attitude. And I am guilty of it myself. Because I joined to bash our leaders and complain about our country. Sometimes we have to say it small, but we shouldn't say it too much. Because if you go to other places, you may actually find out that things are not as horrible in comparison with what is happening in other places. Of course, you can also argue and say that why are you comparing us to countries that are struggling? Why don't you compare Ghana to countries that are doing well? Like what country? Did you say South Africa? It is debatable. But maybe Rwanda. And some of these other countries. You know. Morocco, yeah. Morocco is doing very well. You know, but your point of view depends on your viewpoint. Where you're standing. So when the glass is half full, you can say it is half full or it is half empty. It depends on how you look at it. So he gave me an example. He said in the country that he operates from, he travels very often. So the country where he usually is, he says he doesn't spend a lot of time there. But his electricity bill every month is about $150. Multiply it by 13 Ghana cedis. $150 by 13. You want to know the electricity bill in Ghana cedis? How much does it come to? 1,500. Is it correct? 1,950. That is his electricity bill a month. He's alone. And he's not there most of the time. And his average electricity bill per month is 1,950 Ghana cedis. Here in Ghana, where he has a daughter who always uses the air conditioning, his electricity bill a month is 300 Ghana cedis. Per. Yeah. 300 Ghana cedis. And the country where he lives in, he said it's a country that, if I mention the country's name, you know that a lot of good things are said about that country. And, you know, it's believed that it's a country that's doing well. A lot of tourists come there and all of that. But he was explaining how he walked into a supermarket in that country.
So, of course, supermarket was our mind.
And he met some Ghanaians. They were speaking Ghan. They didn't know he was Ghanaian. And they were looking at the prices of things. And they were converting to Ghana cedis. And they said in Ghan, which means that things are... Meanwhile, he's married to a Ghana lady. Yeah, that's what. And he was laughing in his head. Yeah. Why am I telling you this? I'm just explaining to you. In connection to attitude. That you see, if we do not develop good attitudes, where you look and deliberately focus your mind on the good things, the positive things, the progressive things, the things that stir hope, the things that encourage, if you don't deliberately focus on those things, you will always be depressed. You will always feel some way. And when things are like that, and that is the attitude that you operate by, you are not likely to be lifted up. Because bad attitudes, they bring you down and they never lift you up. So your work where you work, if you are always looking at the negative things and dwelling on the negative things and you always see the bad things and you never focus on the good things, I mean, it's like marriage. There's nothing like a perfect marriage. There's nothing like that. I said there is nothing like that.
Oso for say aware papa bi eni baby.
Ah, sa na me kan e.
Aware e tin bi eni baby.
Masa upe wasem bi akan ka wasem, men ka se me na me kan e. If you look sometimes at people who have been married for 40 years, 50 years, so on and so forth, you will look at them and say, these guys, they are blessed,
though.
They don't have problems,
though.
I wish that I will experience that, though. Their marriage looks very perfect, though. They are always together, oh. You interrogate them. Like any couple that looks like a perfect one. Interrogate them and pray that when you ask them questions, they will tell you the truth. They will tell you about battles, struggles, betrayals, wild issues. They will tell you. But there's a certain posture and a certain attitude that they operate by, which includes an attitude of let's drop issues and move on. Let's forgive. Let's push this aside. And let's press on. It is such attitudes that have taken them to where they are. And such attitudes, they invariably end up in a certain promotion, a certain peace, and a certain blessing. So when you see that something is working with somebody, take it from me. Part of the reason for that success is attitude. Good attitude. It is helped for them to be promoted, for them to be lifted up. And the Bible talks about Jesus, that we must have the same attitude that he had. So Jesus had a certain attitude. He had a certain orientation and disposition. And it must have been a good attitude. So as we study Jesus, as we study his life, as we study the things that he did, one of the things we should be on the lookout for is what attitudes did he have? What kind of orientation or mindsets or postures did he adopt? How did he react to things? Because those things will reveal to us the kinds of attitudes attitude that we must develop. If God is going to elevate us, if we want to experience divine elevation, one of the things we must do is we must develop good attitudes. Lift up your hand and say with me, by the grace of God, I will follow Jesus' example and I will develop good attitudes. So help me God. Put your hands together for Jesus. The second thing that we see about Jesus, one of the steps that he followed that led to his divine elevation, which you and I must emulate, we see that in Philippians 2 verse 6 to 7. The Bible says, though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. He did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. You can just stop there. He did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. And what that tells us about Jesus is that he was prepared to lose so that he can gain. He was prepared to lose so he could gain. And if we want God to lift us up highly in this life, it is one of the steps that we must follow. We must be prepared to lose so that we can gain. That means we shouldn't be too clingy. We shouldn't have an attitude of "it's more me." It's for me. Have you seen how sometimes children like to hold on to things? And when you are asking them, so sometimes you have given them something, and you are asking them to give you some, and their response is no. Then when they are learning how to speak, they will say, "It's mommy."
So
it's mommy. That means it's for me. So they cling on to things. And they don't realize that I gave you that thing. I gave it to you. So the way you are holding on to it, and you don't want to lose it, and you don't realize that as you give me this thing, I'm going to give you something even greater. And I'm going to give you something even better. That thing that makes us cling on to things, and we don't want to ever let go, and we don't want to lose, we don't want to pay any price, we don't want to make any sacrifice, that thing does not lead to divine elevation. Because we see with Jesus that the Bible says he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Because there was something that he had to do. There was an assignment that God had for him. There was a divine purpose for his life. But for that purpose to be accomplished, he had to lose something. He had to put certain things aside. He had to put away his position. The Bible says he was equal with God. There is God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, and the three are one, or the three is one. equal. Yet because of something that had to be achieved, that was going to result in his high elevation, he had to learn to let go and to release his position. Another thing that is mentioned here, his divine privileges. He had to be prepared to lose his divine privileges so that he could gain something greater at the end of the day. I want to submit to you this morning that for God to lift us up, there is a place that we will come to in life where we will have to lose something in order to gain something better. If we cling to certain things, we may never experience God's elevation. So there are times you may have to lose your position. You may have to lose certain rights, certain privileges. Sometimes you may have to lose your reputation. Oh yeah. Sometimes. Because if you look at the King James Version, verse 7, King James, look at what it says. But made himself of what? Made himself of no reputation. Reputation has to do with a good name. And he had to lose it in order to become what God wanted him to become. And sometimes if you are too conscious about preserving a certain dignity, and you cling to it, God may never be able to use you. What I'm saying to you is very deep. Sometimes you may have to lose certain relationships. Oh yeah. You may have to lose them. Because where God is lifting you to, you cannot go with certain people. One day, Abraham had a meeting with his nephew Lot.
That could be Abraham. Lot Kasai.
And he told him that there's always this winky winky going on between your servants and my servants. And it's creating a problem. So I want you to decide to go your own way so that I can also go my own way. So choose where you want to go. Where you don't choose, I will take and we'll just flow like that.
Lot, to you,
he didn't respect because what he should have said to Abraham was that he should have told him that I am where I am today. Because when God called you to leave your father's house and your mother's house, you took me along. And I can see that I've been blessed by affiliating with you. You are the senior. So you choose first. And what you leave, I will take. He looked for the best place, the best land, the one that had the greenest pasture on top of the hills, searching. And he said, I like this one. And the place that looked dry and withered, he left it for
Abraham.
Abraham said, no problem. You go. Let's separate. As soon as Lot left, God appeared to
Abraham
and he said, lift up your head and look north, south, east, west, including where Lot chose. He said, I've given all to you. I have given all to you. Yeah. It was after the separation from Lot
Abraham tin ho free Saul Lot.
That is when God came and he heard about certain divine elevation that God was bringing into his life. And sometimes to get to where God wants you to get to, there may be certain relationships that you will have to. You may have to lose family, friends, opportunities, your comfort. Hey, sometimes you have to lose your comfort. Sometimes you have to lose your comfort for God to be able to lift you. If you are too conscious about your comfort, about your peace, one of the reasons why sometimes we cannot go deep with God is because we like our comfort too much. We like our peace. Sometimes we say, I don't want issues. I don't want problems. I'm explaining something to you as I close. That for God to lift us up and to set us on high, there are definitely going to be things that we would have to lose. And if we don't lose those things, we will never gain. Sometimes to serve God, to be able to serve God, you have to lose certain things. You may have to lose a job. You have to lose certain opportunities. Because you know that certain opportunities and certain doors that are opening before you, if I step through those doors, away with service to God. But what we don't understand is that in losing those things, God is setting us up for a divine elevation. Telling you, somebody had to lose his privacy for this church to be here. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yeah, somebody had to lose his privacy for this church to be here. And without losing that, this church won't be here.
Sorry, we can't.
It won't. You may not understand how valuable your privacy is. Your space, your personal space is. But because somebody was prepared to lose his privacy, this church is here
today.
And you are here, and God is taking this church somewhere. When you see that person, say thank you to him for me. Say what? Thank you. Because it's not easy to lose your privacy, where everybody sees into your everything. Everything. Where people want to go to places that they have not even been invited to. And people, and sometimes you open yourself up to people who are not intending to stay with you. Looking into things and all of that. But though it's not easy, it is worth it at the end of the day. I'm sharing with you how we can be highly elevated by God in this life. And one of the steps to that is where we are prepared to lose so that we can gain. Jesus says, if we hold on to our life, we will lose it. But if we lose our lives for his sake, we will find it again. Losing your life for his sake comes with serving God, serving God. Because serving God will call for you to lose certain things. You have to give your time, your energy, your resources. But as you make his service your delight, your want shall be his care. As you make his service your delight, your wants will be his care. And that is one of the secrets to divine elevation. And Jesus Christ was highly elevated because he was prepared to lose. I pray that the Spirit of God will continue to speak to you.
Amen.
There are many more things to share with you. I will continue next week. But let it suffice for today what you have heard. That for you to experience divine elevation, for God to set you on high, number one, you must have a good attitude. And number two, you must be prepared to lose so that you can gain. I want you to ruminate on these two things. And may the Holy Spirit give you a deeper understanding.
Amen.
In Jesus' mighty name. Put your hands together for the Lord and rise up to your feet. And let us pray. Father, we thank you this morning.
Jesus.
We are grateful to you for your word. We know that it is your wish for us to lift us up and to promote us. I pray in the name of Jesus that as we follow the example of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, whom you highly elevated and gave a name that is above every name, we pray, oh God, that you would help us to follow his steps, his step into glory, his steps into earning a name that is above every name, that at the mentioning of that name every knee should bow and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Help us to follow our perfect example. Help us to become more like Jesus, so that what he experienced, we will experience also. I give you thanks and praise in Jesus' mighty name. And as every head is bowed and every eye closed, you want to say, Pastor, pray with me. I need Jesus in my life. I need to receive him as Lord and Savior. I need his involvement in my life and in everything that I do. Please pray with me to have this Jesus in my heart so that I can experience your blessings in my life. I'll be very happy to pray with you. And wherever you are this morning, as every head is bowed and every eye closed, I want you to lift up your hand and I will pray for you. If you are watching us also and you need Jesus in your life, you need to experience divine elevation. You need Jesus to be Lord of your life. You can lift up your hand right where you are. And I'm going to pray with you. God bless you. Now say this prayer with me. Say, Heavenly Father. Everybody join in this prayer. Say, Heavenly Father. Today, I come to you just as I am. Oh God, please forgive me for all my sins. Please wash me with the blood of Jesus. From today, I am yours and you are mine. I surrender my life to Jesus. I receive him as my Lord and Savior. May he guide my steps and lead me for the rest of my life. Please write my name in the book of life. I thank you, Jesus. I claim you as my Lord, my Savior, my Master, my everything. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name. Let everybody say, Amen.
Thank you for listening to The Shepherd's Voice with Pastor Johnny Awanyo. We do hope that you were greatly blessed. For further inquiries, please call, WhatsApp, or send an SMS text to +233 243 886 622. God bless you.